Well, the coalition is vowing to do all it can to stop the government's property tax reforms ahead of opposition leader Angus Taylor's budget reply speech this evening. As part of the federal budget, Treasurer Jim Chalmers unveiled a plan to restrict negative gearing and amend capital gains tax discount to make it easier for some younger Australians to own their own home. Claire O'Neill is the Minister for Housing, the Minister for Homelessness and the Minister for Cities and joins me in our Parliament House studio. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you, Sally. Thanks for having me.
The Treasurer says the government's tax reforms will create a fairer housing market. But what's your message to young people amid a degree of cynicism, some of whom feel as if this is like pulling up the ladder for them?
Well, Australians have got a housing market stacked against them and we want them to get ahead and we especially want that younger generation to have fair access to home ownership. So this budget is about levelling the playing field for first home buyers and building more homes for the country. For young people around the country, there is no greater aspiration in this nation than to get into your first home, to have that safety and stability and security that goes with that. This budget gets 75,000 of the nation's renting households into home ownership. As for the concept of pulling up the ladder, well, that's just not what's happening here. We're not saying that no one should be a property investor. If you want to get ahead through investing in property, good on you. All we're saying is if you're going to get access to those generous tax concessions, we want you to help us with our national supply challenge by doing it on a new home. So this is going to be a fairer system for everyone, first home buyers on a level playing field and more homes for the nation.
What numbers are you working from in terms of how many Australians want to buy a first home and can't right now?
Look, I mean, I couldn't put a global figure on it for you, but what I can tell you is that we are seeing a drop in the home ownership rate for every age bracket of Australians, but it's particularly acute for that younger generation. And Sally, I often get asked as Housing Minister, what keeps me up at night? When I look at the situation faced by younger, low-income Australians, they are half as likely to own their own home as they were in the year I was born. That's not good for them, but importantly, that's not good for the country. We want to be a nation where if you work hard, you're frugal, you do the right thing, you get a fair shot, and this is what these reforms are about.
So with these numbers of 75,000 being able to become first homeowners, that's 7,500 a year. It's a small number. Do you accept that your own modelling also says that these tax policies in isolation will reduce supply?
Well, firstly, 75,000 people into home ownership is 75,000 households into home ownership. I completely disagree that that's a small number. This will
it's
reverse
7.5 a year.
This will reverse a decade of decline in the home ownership rate for our country. And don't forget, Sally, this is not all we're doing about housing. We have the most bold and comprehensive agenda on housing that a Commonwealth government has had in this country for 70 years. Every budget, every election, we crack off the next set of problems and solve them for the nation. This one
the targets
is about,
aren't being met, are they?
This one is about levelling the playing field for our first home buyers who desperately need our help, and it's about making sure we build more homes.
Earlier I spoke to Jacob Kane, who's the president of the Real Estate Institute of Australia. This is what he had to say.
Tax settings aren't the real barriers to affordability. It's our inability to build enough homes at a fast enough pace. So what we really wanted to see out of the budget were more policies that supported the delivery of new homes into the Australian housing ecosystem. We needed policies that encouraged and incentivised investment in the space and removed planning delays and the regulatory burden that is really holding back delivery of more homes faster here in Australia.
He also went further and said red tape needs to go and that the Commonwealth and the states should get together to get rid of stamp duty. Your thoughts?
Well, first principles, the main reason we've got affordability challenges facing the country is because for 40 years we haven't been building enough homes. So for all the complications in this debate, if we want to have affordable housing in our country, we need to build more homes more quickly.
So he's saying there's not enough incentives there to do that.
Well, let me speak to that because I think, there's some very important parts of the budget that actually address the direct concerns he's raised there. Firstly, a $2 billion fund that will help us build last mile infrastructure. So this is the boring but important part of housing that is about our water pipes, sewerage, roads, footpaths, all of those things. Now, investment in that and the lack of it is stopping us from building the homes we need. So that $2 billion in the budget will help us build 65,000 more homes for the country. And by the way, Sally, that brings our government's investment in that particular piece up to $6.3 billion, and that is a Commonwealth record. Now, Jacob talked about reform at the state level. This is really urgent, and that's why, as part of that $2 billion...
Should stamp duty go?
As part of that $2 billion, states will be required to make those reforms. You asked about stamp duty. That's definitely a part of the debate, but it's one for state treasurers to deal with.
Earlier in the program, I spoke to Beverly Baker, CEO of the Older Women's Network Australia. Let's take a listen.
Sadly, we've swallowed the pill that baby boomers are rich, that baby boomers are hoarding property, that baby boomers are doing okay. And the reality is that not all baby boomers are. In fact, very few. The budget is missing one particular area, and that it is not looking at and not addressing the fact that Australia has an ageing population. That population is predominantly women, and well over 70% of those women don't have enough income to survive.
What's the budget doing for older women on the issue of housing security?
Let me make two really quick points, Sally. I think there's people in this debate trying to present the budget as some type of generational conflict about housing, and I very fundamentally dispute that characterisation. I am just as likely to get stopped on the street by a parent or grandparent who is worried about the young person in their life and their housing opportunities as I am by someone in their 20s and 30s. This is a national challenge that is affecting our whole country, and this budget is about making housing fairer for everyone. Now, let me come to the specific issue. We do have a very significant housing challenge in this country that confronts older people. That this is not just something about the young. So one of the most important things we can do for older women who are at increasing risk of homelessness in this country is rebuild our stock of social and affordable housing. I do a lot of media on housing.
So what's in this budget to do that?
I very rarely get asked about this. We are building 55,000 social and affordable homes. You asked about this budget. We are about halfway through implementing the Housing Australia Future Fund. This is a generational investment in social and affordable housing, the likes of which we have not seen since the post-war period.
How many housing targets have you met as your time in your time as minister?
Well, I think you need to be a little bit more specific if you don't mind me saying about housing targets. We've got a number.
To build new houses.
We've got a commitment to build 55,000 social and affordable homes on track. We've got a commitment to build 100,000 homes for first home buyers with states and territories on track. We have a national aspiration that is not a federal government commitment. It is a whole of nation commitment to work to build 1.2 million homes for the country. Now, that is an aspiration that we are
so it's not a target.
We are improving upon, but that is a big challenge for the country, and it's one that's a big focus of my work.
So you've talked about being on track with targets. Have you met any of the targets in your time as minister?
Well, we haven't reached the end point of any of those targets. We are on track to meet the targets that I just talked about.
What are you doing for First Nations housing, particularly, you know, a lot of people's focus is on this issue in the wake of the tragedy in the Northern Territory?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So firstly, we've had, you know, an unspeakable tragedy occur with the death of a little girl and, you know, I can't put into words the distress that every single Australian feels when they're reading that, and it feels very glib to be on radio at a big political conversation talking about that. It's absolutely heartbreaking, and my heart goes out to that family and that community. This budget does deliver additional funding for First Nations communities, a release of $100 million to help us with repair that's urgently needed in remote communities around the country. It's something that we really need to keep working on. It adds to a $2 billion investment that we're making with the NT government to try to build more remote Indigenous housing.
Claire O'Neill, Minister for Housing, Homelessness and Cities, thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Great to talk, Sally. Thanks for having me.